Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing the talks that I began last week on ways to simplify your life. And if I should die soon, only God knows when that might be, and I have no feelings that I am about to die, I would like to be able to leave with you some of these principles which have so wonderfully shaped my own life. Last week I talked about acceptance and how it's always possible to do the will of God, choosing your attitude, the consolation of obedience. Do it now, do the next thing, give it to Jesus, give thanks always and for everything. And I may have left some of you sort of up in the air on that very difficult one of giving thanks always and for everything. And I was greatly helped by a little booklet with a sermon by Spurgeon, the famous preacher in London. And as for this matter of giving thanks always for everything, most of us can think of horrifying things that have happened, and we say, how can we possibly give thanks for something like that? So let me read you what this wise Mr. Spurgeon says. There are some places that we must not enter, for it would be blasphemous to be giving thanks there. There are some things which I must not do, for I could not give thanks for them. Suppose I have ground down the poor, how can I give God thanks for the miserable shillings which are the blood of these men? Suppose I have gained my living by an evil trade, how can I give thanks to God for the gold as I hear it chink in my bag? Suppose every day my prosperity brings misery to others, how can I give thanks for it? To give thanks for the fruit of sin were practically to blaspheme the thrice holy God. I must never grasp the fruit of covetousness, the gain of dishonesty, the profit of Sabbath breaking, the result of oppression. For if I do, I have that for which I may weep and howl before God, but certainly not that for which I can give Him thanks. Brethren, I say that if we looked well to our text, it would, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, restrain us from sin. Now I want to talk to you about the givens and the not givens. It was way back in the Garden of Eden that the woman whom God had made, the perfect woman whom He made for the perfect man in that perfect garden, took it upon herself to take what was not given. God had given to Adam and Eve everything that was best for them, every fruit that would delight the eyes, all the beauty of that perfect garden. A perfect God put a perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect place. And what did that woman do? Instead of listening to God, she listened to the evil serpent that was there in the garden. And the serpent persuaded her that she did not need to abide by what God had said. He raised that question, "Hath God said?" And Eve was immediately galvanized to think, "I don't need to listen to what God says. I can do what I want to." And so she arrogated to herself that which was not given. The things which were given, she scorned and despised. And the things which were not given, she usurped. And Adam, who, because he was her husband and should have protected her, instead of that, Adam wimped out. And we've been in a mess ever since. Adam should have said, when she suggested to him that they could go ahead and eat the fruit of the garden and they would be a whole lot better off than if they didn't eat the fruit, Adam should have said, no way. But what did Adam do? He just said, in effect, if that's what the little lady wants, then that's what the little lady's going to get. And he capitulated, and we've been in a mess ever since. The not given, they took. What is it in your life which has not been given that you are complaining to God about? Is it marriage? I would say that that is at the top of the list of questions that women ask me, especially choosing me because God has given me three husbands. I thought it was a miracle I got the first one. But when they say, why would God give you three husbands when he doesn't even give me a date? What am I supposed to say except, I don't know. I'm not God. Certainly I never asked that God would give me three husbands. I hardly dared to ask that he would give me one. I did ask it, and he did give it. But when we ask, we shall receive, but not necessarily what we asked for. And this is our opportunity to trust God, to know that what God has given us is exactly suited to the transforming power that God wants to work in you and me. But he wants us to say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are single, I'm so grateful for the beautiful letters that I receive from single women who understand that singleness is a gift. They understand that the church has been greatly blessed throughout all the ages by single women. And some of you single women are willing to be that kind of an icon, a living example of godliness. You have accepted Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And of course, not one of you single women knows that God is not going to give you a husband any more than you know that he is going to. I had a missionary friend. She'd been a missionary in China for many, many years. And before she went to the mission field, she said to the Lord, Lord, I think that you're asking me to be single as a missionary. But if it should happen that when I retire, if you bring me back to the States, perhaps you would give me a husband then. And he did. A widower who had also been a missionary in China asked her to marry him. And I went to that sweet wedding, a lovely wedding. They were both in their 70s. But remember Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You are absolutely convinced that marriage is a good thing, but you could be wrong. And we married women would have a few things we might say to you by way of caution. Marriage is a revolution and a revelation. Take it from me. I have had to submit to three very, very different men. But Lars is the given right now. This is the husband that God has given to me. And so I've had to turn all sorts of somersaults in order to comply with what Lars wants as opposed to what Ad wanted or as opposed to what Jim wanted. And of course, what does God want? There are a whole lot of other people that are not thinking about marriage or singleness or anything else, but you need also to think about the givens and the not givens. I have been given so many privileges. I am deeply aware of the responsibility that I have because of having been given those privileges. For example, I grew up in a very godly family. Not all of you did. I grew up in an ordered home where we knew that what our parents said, they meant, and they meant it the first time. Every single morning after breakfast, we went into the living room and we sang a hymn. All the stanzas, either our mother or our father sat down to the piano, and we sang a hymn. When that was finished, then my father opened the Bible and read the Bible to us. Then we all got down on our knees. My father prayed for each one of us by name, and then we all joined in saying the Lord's Prayer. Now that is a foundation which has set the course of the lives of each of us six children in that family. It was the given. But I'm speaking to many people for whom that kind of a home was not given. What does he want to do with you? Have you learned that God's wisdom versus our felt needs is what we need to major in? God is much wiser than we are, and he loves us. The given and the not given accepted is going to bring peace. We are not to pine and moan and pity ourselves because something that we greatly desired has not been given. I had a letter just this week from a woman asking me why God has not given her a husband. That's just one of the not givens. Why has God not made you a millionaire? Well, God knows what's good for you, and he knows what's not good for you. Of course, God allows us to do all kinds of things by our own stubborn will, which are not pleasing to him, because he does not invade the freedom of our will to choose. He gives us the privilege of choosing. And if we choose his will, we can be sure we will be safe. If we choose our own wills, we can be sure that sooner or later, we are going to be miserable. One of my life verses is Psalm 16:5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup, and have made my lot secure. That brings peace, calm, assurance, and joy to know that God has assigned me my portion and my cup. I wanted a big family, for example, since I came from a family of six children. It was so much fun, and I thought how wonderful to have a big family. And what did God give me? One child. She was 10 months old, and her father was killed, and I didn't remarry till I was in my 40s. And so I just had one child. But God has given to that one child eight children. The given, in her case. Are you willing to accept the givens and the not givens of your life? It will simplify your life.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.